Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been a blessing to be here today already. The songs that we sang and the devotional, giving all to Christ, that can be difficult at times. We're in the flesh and we don't like to give up. But that's what we need to do. The life of the believer is a given up life. We give everything up so that we can live righteously. I've chosen today to preach about the just shall live by faith. I think that ties in together with the devotional this morning and some of the songs that we sang. In Romans chapter 1, I'd like to read several verses there, starting in verse 16 in chapter 1. The verse that we're actually looking for is in verse 17, but we'll read 16 through 20. He says here, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There is a lot in this small portion here. And we won't, like I said, we'll try to concentrate more on verse 17 there. But he says there in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." How many of us are ashamed of the gospel of Christ at times? When we give our all to Christ, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We are living for God. There is nothing that we need to be ashamed of, even if we are different from the world. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We are pleasing God. We are not pleasing the world. So we need to get to the point where we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Makes me think of Stanley Fox, which is a minister from Pennsylvania. Or I think he's in Pennsylvania. Maybe he's in Ohio now. I can't remember. But anyway, he's the director of the chaplain program for Christian Aid Ministries, and he does some training and stuff for the different people, the coordinators of rapid response, of search and rescue, and different ones, other ones. But anyway, he in his training, he made the mention that he doesn't care what people think. Now we need to take that in the right context. But he is the type of preacher that he just lays out the word. He doesn't really care what people think about it. He is serving God. That should be our focus. And I think we need to get to that point too. We are serving God. We really don't care what people think, because we're not trying to please people. We're trying to please God. So going down to verse 17 there. "For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, if we look at that, the latter part there, it says, "as it is written." So it was written prior somewhere. It says, "as it is written." So if we, that would mean that he was quoting the Old Testament. And if we go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Let's just turn to that. He says there, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Maybe we'll just read the first four verses there in Habakkuk 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for a appointed time, but at the end of it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This is this verse here is important, is so important that in the that it's actually quoted three times in the New Testament. Here in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And then also in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And also in Hebrews 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So we need to live by faith. I think most of us know the story of Martin Luther. At one time, this Roman Catholic monk who entered the monastery seeking to be set free from the heavy burden of guilt that he felt because of his sin. Although he was obedient son of the church, he found no rest for his soul in prayer and fastings and penitence. His eyes were opened by God when he studied the epistle here in Romans. As he came to Romans 1, 17 there, he pondered the meaning of the quotation from Habakkuk. Reflecting back on what the text meant in his life, Luther offered this testimony. When by the Spirit of God I understood these words, the just shall live by faith, then I felt born again like a new man. I entered through the open doors into the very paradise of God. And we just really understand that. When Martin Luther found this text, or maybe when this text found Martin Luther, it turned his life around. It just really changed his life. No longer was he willing to remain a simple monk in the monastery, because once the truth of justification by faith gripped his soul, he ignited a fire that spread throughout Europe and eventually to the ends of the earth, even to here, because of that. So, yet this little phrase, the just shall live by faith, comes almost as an aside. In Habakkuk there, God pronounces judgment on the wicked Babylonians because they were greedy and arrogant and bloodthirsty and ruthless. They killed without remorse because they had given them over to every sort of evil. And then God was going to destroy them. They even plundered many nations. So what do you do when you watch bad people steal and kill and things like that? Well, the just shall live by faith. What do you do when your prayers go unanswered? The just will live by faith. So what do you do when your dreams turn into ashes, when everything is dashed aside? The just will live by faith. When you see trouble on every hand, the righteous man remembers that God is still on his throne. And when the dark clouds break overhead, he says to himself, the just shall live by faith. Encouraging. So the question is, how much did Habakkuk understand about Luther and the Protestant Reformation? He didn't understand anything at all. It was way after his time. But he understood the words entirely in the context of his own time. More than 600 years later, the Holy Spirit moved Paul to quote these words to prove that the gospel was no innovation, but that it was predicted in the Old Testament. And more than 1,000 years after that, Martin Luther found rest in his soul when he understood the meaning of "the just shall live by faith." So this verse that changed Luther's life, in verse 17, even in the previous verse there, Paul declared the gospel the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If we notice that, it says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Here he says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's no one cut out of that. It also, there's a couple of points here. It reveals a righteousness that comes from God. The word righteousness is an old word that comes from courthouses, really. It means to declare not guilty and to declare someone innocent of all charges. If you are righteous in God's eyes, you stand before him. You can stand before him and be declared not guilty. Regardless of what we have done in our life, if we accept the salvation, the power of God through salvation, through Jesus Christ, we can stand before him and be declared not guilty. The gospel of Christ provides for us what we could not provide for ourselves. On our own merit, we would all stand condemned before the Almighty. Who of us would dare say that I am good enough to go to heaven? As someone has said, a clear conscience is just the result of a poor memory. Unless we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that will wash it all away. The only people who think that they are good enough to go to heaven are the people who don't really know who they really are. We can be deceived. Righteousness is what we need but do not have. Therefore, God, knowing that we could never be righteous on our own, provided righteousness to come down to us from heaven above. It's not earned or deserved, but it is given to us by God as a free gift. Even the Reformers had a special term for this. They said that we need alien righteousness. When we think about alien, you know, if we visit other countries, we've been to Germany, we've been to Mexico, even if we go to China, Kenya, whatever, all these other countries, we're actually considered aliens because we are not of that country. And therefore, to say that we are saved by alien righteousness means that we are saved by righteousness that comes from another place. It comes not from within us as a result of our good deeds, but from outside of us entirely. So where can a guilty sinner find righteousness? It's from another place. It's not from within us. He can find it in Jesus Christ, and that's the alien righteousness that we need, that will save sinners. I appreciated the one of the songs that we sang. It might have been the last one this morning before the devotional, but "my faith has found a resting place in Jesus' blood and creed. I need no other argument." It goes on then in the chorus. "I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me." We need to personalize that. And then there's another hymn also. Earlier I thought we might sing this, but its time is running out. And that is, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. All that Brother James was talking about are all. So that brings us to our second reason why the gospel is so powerful. The righteousness of God is received only by faith. The key word is faith. Our text says that righteousness is received from faith to faith. Everyone who is saved the same way. It is faith alone and faith always. So how can I be right with God? The answer is simple, by receiving the righteousness that comes by faith. That is how we can be right with God. Also, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Note that phrase there, no difference. There is no difference between rich or poor, or young or old, black or white, or male or female. There is no difference. We all stand condemned by our sin, and all of us are under the judgment of God. Our sins may not be exactly the same, but we are all sinners nonetheless. We are all sinners. We're all in the same boat, and that boat has sprung a leak. So if we don't cry out to God and accept His salvation, His righteousness, we will all perish. And some people think that God will make a deal with them. We can be deceived into that. That if we only try hard enough, do our best, clean up our act, play by the rules, and treat people right, that God will let us into heaven in the end. Apart from God's grace, there is no righteousness to be found anywhere. In fact, Psalms 53, verses 1 through 3 says, the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that goeth that doeth good. God looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there be any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Jesus Christ is the only righteous man that ever lived. Jesus Christ is pure and holy and perfect in every way. He never sinned, not even one time. Though he was severely tempted, he never gave in. The rest of us fall so far short that we cannot begin to be compared to him. He is the only righteous man that ever walked on this earth. And we crucified him. His reward for doing God's will was death on the Roman cross. For the murder of a perfect man, God's plan to rescue the human race. It's because of Jesus Christ that was to rescue us. If you want to go to heaven, we need to learn this lesson. God does not make deals with sinners. If we come to God on the basis of our good works, we will be turned away because we miss the mark of 100% perfection. But if we come to the God on the basis of righteousness provided by the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be accepted. That makes the total difference. And the third reason that the gospel is so powerful is that by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, men and women are declared just in the eyes of God. The Apostle Paul uses this phrase in here, the just shall live by faith. This was the text that shocked Martin Luther into the core and brought him to the saving faith of Jesus Christ. And then I've got a little excerpt here from Paul Luther, which would have been Martin's youngest son. He says here, in the year 1544, my late dearest father, in the presence of us all, narrated the whole story of his journey to Rome. He acknowledged with great joy that in that city, through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he came to the knowledge of the truth of the everlasting gospel. It happened this way. As he repeated his prayers in the Lateran staircase, the words of this prophet, Habakkuk, came suddenly to his mind, the just shall live by faith. Thereupon he ceased his prayers, returned to Wittenberg, and took this as the chief foundation of all his doctrine. This was what really turned him around. And from that unlikely beginning came the Protestant Reformation. And also, there's a song, I'm not sure, Sola Fide, I think, something like that, in Latin, which means by faith alone. Faith alone, not by works of law. Faith alone, not by obedience for the church, not by human righteousness, not by baptism, not by good intentions, not by sacraments, and not by acts of charity. It is faith alone. So what does it mean to have faith alone in this sense? Maybe we'll put it this way. If you know what it means when the doctor says you need to have surgery, then you need know what it means to have faith. And if you know what it means to step into an airplane and trusting your safety to the captain of the cockpit, you know what it means to have faith. And we just literally experienced that yesterday, flying with Dean. Dean has his pilot's license now for a while, and he wanted to do something for my birthday, so he wanted to fly us out to Sykeston so we could go to Lambert's for a meal. And so we did that. Well, I've flown in a lot of big planes and stuff, and I've flown in a small one already, but not a lot. And this was only about a 30-minute flight, but it's quite different in there, especially when once we got up above the clouds. Why, then it was just as smooth as glass. But before you get there, why, this little plane is jumping around and carrying on. And so, yeah, we had to put our faith in him to. He knew what we were doing, or what he was doing. So having faith, just an example of having faith. Faith is a complete reliance upon another person to do that which you could never do for yourself. There again, giving our all, putting our all on that. How much faith does it take to go to heaven? Well, that might depend. The answer is not much, but all you've got. If you are willing to trust Jesus Christ with as much faith as you happen to have, you can be saved. But if you're holding anything back, thinking that maybe you need to do something to save yourself, it will not work. Saving faith is putting your trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. In order to do that, you have to stop trying to save yourself. Sometimes people say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. that may be good advice for investing or for business or, you know, something like that. But it's a terrible advice when you think about your soul, investing for your soul. We only need to put all of our eggs in the basket of Jesus Christ. Some years ago, Josh McDowell debated a Muslim. At one point, the Muslim tried to ridicule the Christian faith by saying that the Christians are riding on the back of a crucified man. Josh replied by saying, "You're right. We're riding on the back of a crucified man, and he's going to take us all the way to heaven." So there is good news and there is bad news from this text here. The just shall live by faith. The bad news is you have no other hope of heaven outside of Jesus Christ. That's the only way there. The good news, the good works cannot save you. Church membership cannot save you. Baptism cannot save you. Giving money cannot save you. And keeping the Ten Commandments cannot save you. Nothing you can do can make the least bit of difference concerning your eternal situation, salvation. If you are trusting in your own good life or your religion to get you to heaven, someday you will be sadly disappointed. But the good news is those who put their trust in Jesus Christ are saved forever. That's the real meaning of the just shall live by faith. There's also another song that we sing, Only Trust Him. Come every soul by sin oppressing, there is mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. And the chorus is, only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. And another verse, for Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes brighter than snow. We can be washed clean. And those words express what I've been trying to say in this message. Anyone, anywhere, at any time can be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. We are all sinners, desperately in need of God's grace. And the death of Christ provides the full payment for our sins. What we could not do for ourselves, God has done for us through the death of his Son. The only thing left for us to do is to believe in him. Let's all who read these words take them to heart. To run to the cross, turn from our sin and lay down our self-will, and lay hold on the Son of God who loves us and died for us, and cast ourselves completely on Jesus Christ for our salvation. If you trust in him with all your heart, he will not turn you away. It all comes down to six simple words, the just shall live by faith. That's the message that we preach. That's the message that changed the world. Let us kneel for prayer.